Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you're taking your seats, please turn to Galatians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, the ushers will be glad to bring one to you. Just raise your hand and you will get a Bible. Mic right there in front of you. There you go. Is God good? He is. If you're visiting today, we're very grateful that you are here. We're very thankful that you come and spend the morning with us. And today you'll find us as we continue through the book of Galatians. On Sunday mornings, we study the New Testament. On Wednesday evenings, we go through the Old Testament. And as we know, the tapestry of God's Word is to be studied. In the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. In the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And that's why we study the 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, because they come together like this. And they're wonderful. Today we're going to look a bit further, bit deeper into, as you see on the screen there, justification. What's it say? By faith alone. Alone means nothing added. Nothing is needed to be it. By faith alone. And that is pretty powerful. You see, a long time ago, two individuals found themselves in a great need. Long time ago. They had been placed in a garden. It was a beautiful place. They walked with God. It appears that they talked with God. Something happened in the middle of that garden. There was a temptation. There was a test, like there is in our lives at times. Satan came and tricked Eve. Adam looked at Eve and chose to go the path that she had gone. One might say at that point, God had a problem. But no, he knew that they would do that. So even before he created, as you guys know, Adam and Eve, he had a way for them that had nothing to do with their righteousness, their works. Because if it had to do with works, they were doomed. And the human race was doomed in Genesis chapter 3 when they rebelled against God. God looked at them and questioned them. He knew what was going on, but he challenged them to come forth in truth. He looked to them and he said, because of your sin, this is the consequence of it. You need to understand that. Lucifer, this is what's going to happen in your life. Adam, this is what you need to understand you're going to experience. And Eve, it's the same for you. But then right after that, in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3, God introduced to us what we're looking at today, justification by faith alone. Now, in a moment, we're going to look at some real strong definitions of justification. And I want to spend a little bit of time there. And I looked at Galatians chapter 3 as we're going through that, and we see this principle called justification, justified in the eyes of a holy God presented to us. And I just thought it would be good today for us to slow down and look at a couple things. Now, join me, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. For the first time in this book, the principle that I believe that God met there in the garden and continued to meet through the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices that were there, because they were pointing to a point where what we will celebrate today, Jesus Christ came into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he came into that garden experience at that point and listen. This is my plan for you. This is what you have done, but this is my plan for you. And there he, it appears, took an animal, took the life of that animal, took the clothing from that animal, and covered in a very special way, and we can spend a lot of time studying that because it's important, but there was a way back for Adam and Eve for their sins. Now, there would be consequences, we know. There would be that justification from God. And we're going to look at that. So here in Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 16, where we see the first mention of this principle by Paul in this book that has continued all the way through the centuries after centuries after centuries. And he starts out in verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified, declared righteous, by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. He takes this into chapter 3, and as we've been seeing this, we looked at that last week, and we'll look at the second part of it next week, Lord willing. But look at verse 8. Of chapter 3 of Galatians, and he says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel was there in the Old Testament. I believe the gospel was presented in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The way back for a sinful person to come to a holy God was presented that way. And there we see this wonderful, wonderful truth. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, all the nations shall be blessed. And we're going to study that and we're going to develop that before we take communion. Go with me to chapter 3, verse 11, though, where Paul says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. It's evident. And he goes back to Habakkuk, and he quotes a scripture like a good scholar would, scripture comparing scripture. The just shall live, what? By faith. Praise the Lord, it doesn't say by works. It says by faith. Very important for us to understand that. Very important. Today it's by faith. Now go with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Just to show even a little bit more of what we've been doing on Sunday mornings, how this theme goes through the entire New Testament, especially in Paul's writing. Here in Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, we see the heart of this principle again being expressed by Paul to Titus. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now notice how appeared, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, what did he do? Saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful verse? We have a hope today. What is our hope? Eternal life. How many today believe that you're going to be in heaven? No small thing. No small thing. It truly is not small at all. Go with me now to Romans chapter 4. And this is where we're going to spend our day today before we take communion, because I just felt as we're going through Galatians, it would be good to go back and look at this principle that, again, that you see on the screen, justification by faith alone. And chapter 4 drives this home. You'll see on the screen, there's two things we're going to look at. The chapter's broken down into two areas. The first one is Abraham was justified by faith, not by works or by ordinances, verses 1 through 12. And then as we go through that, and just briefly, and then we'll go into Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through 25, where the idea there is the promise of justification is granted through faith, not by obedience to the law. It's a wonderful truth that we have here. Now, you know me. I don't run very deep. I try to run deep, but it just seems to say, not, I don't too deep. And so I want today, I thought I'm going to give you some deep meanings of justification. You ready? But I didn't create these myself. I went out on Bible Hub. Bible Hub is a good place to go to. And here is the definitions that they have of justification. And then I will give you the most profound personal one after that. But I want to give you first that because that'll be mine. Okay, that'll be mine, the third definition. But here, listen to this definition. In Christian theology, justification is God's act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin, while at the same time making a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. I'm going to share it again. In Christian theology, justification is God's act, his decision, what he has done on behalf of you and I, of removing, notice, removing the guilt and penalty of sin, while at the same time, at the same moment, same time, making a sin righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. Anybody say, praise the Lord? That's a work of God. It's not a work of man. That's what we've been studying in Galatians. But it's important that we dive into it and just settle on it and think about it even before we take communion. Now, here's a long definition, and if you want to email me, I'll give it to you, but it's found in the Bible Hub under justification. Justification is the judicial act of God by which he pardons all the sins of those who believe in Christ and accepts and treats them as righteous in the eye of the law, i.e., as conformed to all its demands. All its demands. In addition to the pardon of sin, justification declares that all the claims of the law are satisfied in respect of the justified. It is the act of a judge and not a sovereign. The law is not relaxed or set aside, but it is declared to be fulfilled in the strictest sense. And so the person justified, you and I, is declared to be entitled to all the advantages and rewards arising from perfect obedience to the law. Is that not amazing? I'll just repeat the last part. The law is not relaxed or set aside, but is declared to be fulfilled in the strictest sense. And so the person justified, you and I, we are declared to be entitled to all the advantages and rewards arising from perfect obedience to the law. Could we perfectly obey the law? No. But who did? Jesus. And on our behalf, he went to the cross and died, but rose from the dead to the living. On our behalf. And all blessings are there. We know that according to Scripture. What a wonderful, wonderful definition. You want to hear my simple definition? It's pretty profound. Simply put, it means to be declared righteous in the eyes of holy God. How about that one? I love that. We are declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God. Romans tells me that I can come boldly into the throne room of God because of that reality and truth. I don't have to be afraid. I need to be respectful. But I don't have to be afraid. It means to be declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God, to be just as if I have not sinned. Praise hallelujah. I told you it was better than the other two. Not really. Look at verses 1-4, where we see Abraham justified by faith. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? Not in the flesh, humanly speaking is what they're saying. For if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does that mean? It's the same for him as it is for us. If we could fill all the law, then we could go to the person next to us and we go, ha ha, you couldn't do it, but I did. Have you ever done that? There are many people that say that. They consider themselves righteous on their own works because they have put themselves under works and they strictly follow those works. But in reality, it won't add up and it doesn't add up because man cannot do that at all. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has thing to boast about. If he could do that, even Abraham, that he could boast, but then it comes back, but not before God. There's no way. Not mankind cannot boast before God. And obviously, Abraham wasn't declared righteous by works. It's going to develop as we go. Look at verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham, what? Believed God. and it was accounting to him for righteousness. Put stars next to that, circle that, underline that in your Bible, that Abraham believed. We go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him, verse 4, who works, their wages are not counted as grace. They're not imputed as grace, but as debt. They're indebted to continue to perform the law. If they could somehow do something that would take them to that place of righteousness. No, it doesn't stop there. They have to continue. They have to continue. They have to maintain that and all that. And no man has been able to do that. But they try. And unfortunately, we try too. I tried before I was saved. I don't know about you. Because I grew up understanding in Jesus. I grew up understanding the Father. I grew up with a desire to be a good Christian young man. But I didn't know the scriptures, and the scriptures weren't taught where I grew up. They truly weren't. And I didn't understand the truth, and I didn't find the freedom that was there. So I found in my own self, because kind of like a disciplined person that way, I'm going, this is it. I'm going to do it this, and then that way I'll get my way into heaven. But it didn't work. I always felt sure, and I got frustrated. It just doesn't work. Abraham was not seen as righteous because he left Ur, although his obedience was wonderful. Abraham was not seen as righteous because he received circumcision, although the sign and seal for this covenant was important. Abraham was not seen righteous because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac to God, although obedience was vital. Abraham was seen as righteous simply because of faith in God. Abraham looked forward to the work of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. How do we know that? Listen to the words of Jesus himself. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." God hasn't been hiding it. Even back in Abraham, he revealed the truth. It's simply there, what was revealed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Man couldn't do it, so God came in and did it on man's behalf. Anybody happy? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Notice it goes on in verses 5 through 8, where David celebrates the same truth. So Paul's a wise teacher, so he lets Scripture interpret Scripture. And so now he goes to another example. David, in verse 5, he says, "But to him who does not work," if we don't try to work our way into heaven, "but believes on him," on God, "who justifies the ungodly, his faith," our faith, "is accounted for righteousness," simply by faith, not our works. Should we do good works? You betcha. But not for salvation, and not for maintaining our salvation. It's just because the Holy Spirit flows out of us, and it becomes the joy of our life. It's so much better than "I've got to." It's "I get to." And that's what should flow through our lives. "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Just as David also describes the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes or accounts righteousness apart from works. There we go. We go back to Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed, oh, how happy are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Is that not true for us today? Yeah. And then he goes on, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." How wonderful. There on the screen, you'll see, "Blessed is the man." This man is blessed in three ways, just to drive it through a little bit further. God imputes righteousness to him apart from works. His sins are forgiven and covered. And his sins are not counted against him. Anyway, praise the Lord. Got a quiet group this morning. Man, when we sit back and we just look at this, we sometimes approach the communion table and we don't realize what it represents truly. What I mean by that is that we don't slow down enough to truly consider. See, when we go to the communion table, that is representing all that we're talking about this morning. It's no small thing. We cannot do it lightly. We cannot go that which represents the blood, that which represents the body, without truly considering all that is there for us. Not to be afraid of it, but to rejoice that it's been taken care of by Jesus Christ in our lives today. Look at verses 9 through 12 as we continue real briefly through this. Abraham, in verses 9 through 12, justified before circumcision. Notice in verse 9, "This blessedness then come upon the circumcised only? Is it only for the Jew? Or upon the uncircumcised also, upon the Gentile also? I'm glad for that. For we say that faith was accounted, imputed to Abraham for righteousness, simply faith. How then was it accounted? How was it imputed? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? You guys answer that. He was uncircumcised. Uncircumcised. Very important. His faith was Genesis chapter 15, where God declared him righteous in the eyes of him because of his faith. Circumcision came after that, and we're going to talk about the importance of that. While he was circumcised or uncircumcised, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised, and he received the sign of circumcision, a sign of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who do what? Believe. Notice that word all. The person who grows up under following Buddha, all. The person that grows up under the Muslim faith, all. The person that grows up in the United States of America, quote, a Christian nation, all. It's there for each and every person. Everyone is invited. No one is excluded. It's simply by faith. He goes on and he says there in verse 12, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, the Jewish person, but who also walk in the steps of faith. He's addressing the Gentile and everyone. Our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. He's basically saying it's by belief, totally belief. Now look on your screen there. Abraham justified concerning circumcision. The sign of the circumcision was a sign of, number one, a sign of celebration. It was a picture of the joy that a believer was counted as righteousness, as righteous. It was a sign of a witness. The believer was testifying that he believed in God. It was a sign of a changed life. The believer was saying that he lived for God. It was a sign of identification. The believer was declaring he was one of God's people. When a person back in those days, I am circumcised. I am part of the Jewish faith in this way. He was saying all of those things, a sign of celebration, a sign, I don't know why how you'd celebrate, but a sign of witness, a sign of changed life, a sign of identification. What is it for us today? It's baptism, water baptism. Because look what we do in water baptism. It's a sign of celebration. It was a picture of the joy. It is a picture of the joy that a believer was counted as righteous. That's why we get baptized. Notice number two, it's a sign of a witness. The believer was testifying that he believed in God. Number three, it's a sign of a changed life. The believer was saying that he lived for God. And it's a sign of identification. The believer was declaring he was one of God's people. That's why we get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to do that. We'll go right out today if you want into that cold pond. We'll dunk you and hold you down for 10 minutes. But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we see there. In verses 13 through 25, we see the promise of justification is granted through faith, not by obedience to the law. Look at verse 13. Here in verse 13, we see the promise is not through the law, but through faith. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness. How? Of faith. Isn't that wonderful? It's a faith. It's not any other way. Today, there are denominations that would rip off the principle of faith. They'll tell you if you believe in the creeds, and you really study the creeds, and you believe in your heart in the creeds, so the creeds may speak about things that are found in Scripture, but it isn't so much the Scripture and by faith, but it's by your belief in the creeds, then you shall be saved. It's another gospel. They'll tell you that if baptized as an infant and you're confirmed as a young person, and then if you continue to take communion week after week after week after week after week, then your salvation will be true. It's a salvation by works, not by grace. There's so many out there that bring people into bondage, truly into bondage. Not that we have anything other than the truth of Scripture. We're nothing special, but the truth of Scripture sets us free. Go ahead and follow other ways. I've seen young kids, you know, they grow up in the Word of God, and then they go out to college, and they get ripped off, and they go from grace, and all of a sudden they're trying to fall back into law, and it's a trap. It'll destroy. Amen? Anybody agree with that? That's why we must present the truth. It's very important that we would do that. For the purpose that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Then in verse 14 and 15, we see the argument against the law presented by Paul. For if those who are of the law are heirs, if that could be possible, faith is made void. That would be the result. And the promise made of no effect. We couldn't have the promise. We would just have to work. Verse 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. If you look at the screen again. The law brings about wrath. It does it in three ways. Look at this, please. First, the law shouts out at a man, break me and you become guilty, you become condemned, and you are to be punished. That's what the law does to us. Number two, the law works wrath in that it keeps man tied up in knots, under pressure and tension and in a strain. Is that not true? I found it to be true. When I was trying to be saved by doing the good works, it's good that I do the works, but now empowered by the Holy Spirit, not for my salvation. Three, notice what it says there. Law works wrath in that it causes a man to focus his life upon the law and not upon God. You see that one there? Look at that real close again. The law works wrath that it causes a man to focus his life upon the law and not upon God. That's a trap. I want to look at God, don't you? I want to look at Jesus and look in his face and find the freedom that is there. And by that freedom, and I find that love that is there, and that love constrains me and it empowers me and it drives me to follow after him and be obedient to what he might say in my life. Look at verse 16. I love this. An argument for faith. We saw an argument against the law, but here's the argument Paul presents for faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, the free gift, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, in other words, they had the law, Jews, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, addressing all people, who is the father of us all. I just love that. Verse 16, three facts, that it might be according to grace. Number two, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Number three, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. And look at the source of our faith, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham. That's by faith. In the presence of him, God, whom he believed, Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham's faith was in God alone. And now I know that you know this, but my hope is that it's driven more into our hearts as we go through the book of Galatians, that we be set free more and more. Then in verses 18 through 22, as we begin to wrap up the message, the strength of Abraham's faith. Look at verses 18 through 22. There he says, who, speaking of Abraham, contrary to hope, because he was 100 years old, but in hope he believed that he would have an heir, so that he believed the father, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. There was a promise by God, but it wasn't it hadn't appeared because he was without child. And then he speaks of that in verse 19, and not being weak in faith. In other words, doesn't mean that Abraham didn't struggle, but ultimately he's strong. When the trials came, he stayed strong. Anybody ever have trials? Does it challenge your faith? It does. God, did you really say this? Are you really who the scripture says that, this doesn't seem like you. This, how could it be you? But in the midst of it, it's God. It's God. And so Abraham did not waver ultimately in his faith. He stayed strong. And it's a lesson to us in not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead. This is just an example that he's using. Since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver. He did not withdraw from the truth at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. That's an amazing. To be fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. He believed that. He truly did. And therefore, verse 22, it was accounted to him for, what's it say? Righteousness. Right wiseness. Righteousness. It's amazing. On the screen, you'll see the strength of Abraham's faith was seen in four ways. Number one, Abraham hung unto hope, and we must do the same. Number two, Abraham was not weak in his faith, and we have to cry out, God, I feel weak right now. I really do, because I am weak right now. But I know your scriptures, and you tell me that I am to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun, it's you, God, who's begun a good work in it. It's you, God, that will continue to that work in me. It's you, God, I cry out, I feel this way. But that's not the reality as I go into scripture. I know that, Lord, but I feel this way. And as we work our way through the feelings, then we find that faith that is there deep in our heart, because it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Abraham hung unto hope. Abraham was not weak in faith. Number three, Abraham did not waver in his faith ultimately. And number four, Abraham was fully convinced. Today, are we fully convinced? Are we?
Yes.
If you die, where are you going to go?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Are you fully convinced?
Yes.
Is that not wonderful?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I mean, that's exciting. How many people do have that understanding? Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there's many still trying to work their way into heaven. And there in verses 23 and 24, the recording of Abraham's faith, verse 23, it was not written for his sake, Abraham's faith alone, that it was imputed to him, accounted to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up for because of our offenses and was raised because of our what? Justification. Justification by faith alone. Today, God's grace is shed upon us, and it truly is an amazing reality. Amen? It truly is. May we never stop thanking our Lord for all that he has done for us. May we not stop that. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's all. We are declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And simply, there's faith, belief. Faith, believing in what God has done. As we now approach communion, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Go, please, and we'll close here. Hebrews chapter 1. Again, in Christian theology, justification is God's act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin, while at the same time, making a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. Notice the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he, God, has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness, Jesus being the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, Jesus, had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Anybody say praise the Lord? Justification simply by faith. Simply by faith.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.
Journey through.